Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Beautiful day, absolutely beautiful day in Baltimore. And I see people walking all over the street right in our little beautiful neighborhood that we have here. And you know what? There has been a particular energy about anticipating the show. I'm not exactly sure what it is. The week has been like this, and now today I woke up and I was just so happy because the mix of the music is so cool. It's reflective of hope and excitement and things to come and a lot of faith in the mix. And the big thing is that this particular gentleman is with us today after his love fest at Spaghettini's last weekend. I'm telling you, I've seen the pictures, and it's pretty rare when photos jump off at the screen and get right involved with your heart and your soul. You just knew that there was a lot of great playing, a lot of people slapping each other on the back. It seemed like there was a party going on that's still going on because people are talking about it, including one of my pals in Malibu, Linda, who really enjoyed the sold-out show last week. And I'm talking about the one and only, the much buzzed about, the incredible saxophonist who took a lot of courage in leaving his day job to just go for it all. And in going for it all, he has gained pretty much everything. Very talented young man here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Phil Denny. Phil, there you are.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you just great. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I've been looking forward to today, I got to tell you.
Oh, I'm so glad. And look, I can't believe it. You must be still on cloud nine from last weekend. Are you not?
I am. I still have, like, this permagrin going on. It's been so much fun, you know, like, responding to, you know, all of the comments and just taking time out to personally thank, you know, everyone that came and everyone that showed their support, you know, not only at the show but online following the performance.
Oh, I saw that, Phil, in anticipation of the show, because playing at Spags is a pretty big deal, and it's not like just anybody can get to play there. We've been talking about Blues Alley, and Blues Alley is like the Washington, D.C. equivalent, sort of Spaghettini's. So to see the response before you were at the venue, and then the folks who showed up to support you, whoa, you don't really see that a whole lot.
Yeah, it really was great, and I got to meet so many people that I connected with socially, and, you know, as you mentioned, introducing the show, it was a sold-out night, and, you know, it took a little while to get there, but, you know, I'm in a way, I'm glad that it did, because the fan support, you know, the level of support was there to show that it's worthwhile for the venue to consider having me back. And I'm certainly looking forward to coming back, hopefully, you know, later this summer or earlier in the fall.
You know, you raised an interesting kind of image and thought about what you just said. It took a while to get there. Do you think, Phil, because of the fact that you spent a number of years working with mortgages, and had a very healthy day job scenario, but that itch was there to make your sax passion that was part-time something full-time. Do you think that because you had the stability of a working environment and because you were very wise in waiting for the proper time to launch this full-time career, do you think that's what it has made you so successful? Do you think that if you got it any earlier, you maybe wouldn't be able to appreciate it as much?
I think you're right. And, you know, not only that, but it took me, you know, a little while longer to actually fall into you know, recognizing or having the drive to be an artist. And, you know, there's so much of yourself that you're putting out there when you perform publicly, whether you're an artist or you're an actor, and you're sort of like growing within this community. And it took, you know, not only a lot of strength and courage to step out from, you know, being vice president for a mortgage company, but to also say, okay, now is the time where I feel comfortable as a musician to try to make a name for myself as a performing artist. So, you know, and that decision goes back almost 4 years ago now, but, you know, the album Crossover came out last July, 2012, and I knew that I sort of missed the boat as far as touring last summer, because I came out with the record midsummer, so a lot of the festivals and, you know, different venues had already had their calendars lined up. So I was prepared, you know, to accept that and hope that I would have the opportunity to share the music this summer. And, you know, working with Deanna Yip at KSBR Radio and with the people at Spagatini, you know, it just took a little time to not necessarily convince them that I was, you know, worthy of playing the club, but just that, you know, there was probably, I guess in my opinion, it was worth taking the risk, because they really weren't familiar with my music. And I think after meeting the owner on Sunday at the Wave Jazz Brunch, that they were quite pleased.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And, you know, I'll freely admit that in talking to some of these club owners and managers, the people who are the real power people who book the clubs, it's all about numbers. And
right.
If they understand that you're going to pull in numbers, and now that other folks will see clearly that what you did at Spagatini last week was just so incredible, you know what? It's just going to happen organically now for you, Phil, because astute business people will recognize the draw of you. And frankly, here's the bottom line. I've seen businesses come and go. Certainly I've seen radio station promotions through the years, because I've been doing this since 1976. Here's the situation. When you can pack a place with all different kinds of women, black, white, yellow, red, all ages, all sizes, all shapes, the women bring their men.
Yeah.
And then the rest is history. Then you got a crowded room.
Yeah. You know, I have a quick funny story, because you mentioned, you know, the following of women. You know, there's a few of them that had said, well, Phil, you're so cute. And then my response is, well, I hope you like my music.
Because a lot
of people haven't been exposed to my music, but they might see a picture on Facebook or something like that. And, you know, I hope that, you know, that they enjoy the music. And I understand and agree that, you know, when working with a club, that it is about the numbers. I have another funny story. Earlier on, when I was working with my band, before I even started in the mortgage business, I had a group for about 12 years. Up until I made the decision to pursue a career as a solo artist, we played a few venues early on, and the owner really favored our music, but she pulled me aside after a couple months and said, Phil, I got to tell you, we love your music, and you do a great job for the club, with the exception of the fact that the people that you draw don't drink. We're not making any money, so we have to let you go.
Oh, no!
My member base in the band were church musicians, so a lot of the people that were coming out to support our music were churchgoers, and they didn't necessarily drink alcohol. So, you know, they might order a little food, but, of course, the bar's making money on the beverages. And so that was a funny story, just I thought I'd share, and I agree and completely understand, especially as a business person, that they have to make money.
You know what? And it's going back to the first thing that you said. It's people don't necessarily understand this, but you have probably been in a dilemma maybe a time or two in your career playing music. And you are going to get a little bit more hate than is the usual because of the fact that you are movie star good looking. You are.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. And then when people hear you play, you can't tell if they get ticked off or happy that you play just as well as you look. So it's going to honk some people off because there are those that are going to say, doggone it, it's just not fair. But the fact of the matter is that you make people so happy when you play, and then those people tell other people, and then you get twice as many people at the next venue. So
yeah.
the idea,
you know, is obviously to make people talk. You know, you want them to leave and experience and share that with someone so they too can experience what that person is talking about. And that's great that I'm a performing artist and that people get to talk about music, because it is a universal language and it has a way of connecting with people.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I'm going to play a song later on in the show that is from Duke Ellington, because it's the memory of his birthday on April 29th. And you know what? He said something, and I never knew that he was the one who said it. What you just said completely was word association from Duke Ellington. He said, you've got to find a way of saying it without saying it. When you start to play, do you feel, because you convey this, there's a sense of real joy that you have in playing? I don't think it's ever been a situation where you're up on stage and you're going, jeez, I wish I didn't have to play tonight. Gosh, let me end this gig early.
No, I haven't. And, you know, truly every opportunity to perform on stage is exceptional. And I just, before doing this interview, I was a co-host for another radio program that I do here called Showbiz Weekly, where we feature different Michigan artists from all different areas of the entertainment industry. And there's an actor, Tim Holmes, from our area that said, you know, today that, oh, goodness, I'm losing my train of thought.
That's okay. You'll think of it.
Yeah. Reiterate your statement before I started that, would you please?
Oh, yeah. About Duke Ellington. And Duke Ellington said, you've got to say it in a way without saying it. So music being this instrumental language, when you play, you convey a sense of joy in playing. And I don't think there's ever been a time where you have thought while you were on stage, I wish I could end this gig early.
Right. Yeah, and he made a comment. It was a great point, and it's not coming to me now. But, you know, Darnell Kendricks, who was on stage with me, he came from Detroit. He's originally from California, and he was able to visit his family and also perform with me at Spaghettini. And, you know,
cool.
He and I have a similar approach to our music where, you know, when you're on stage, you're just comfortable with yourself, and you want to, what I consider, just play from within. You know, you just try to convey whatever emotion you're feeling in that song or in that moment and hope that the audience receives it. You know, it's that call and response, and I do get a lot of energy from the audience, and that's really what fuels the performance.
Oh, for sure. That wave comes at you. I've heard this time and time again, not being in a, I can only empathize and not sympathize, because this is a different situation entirely. I get the love because after a month I see that there has been several thousand hits to the radio show, and that's awesome, but there must be nothing like you being in front of a whole group of people who are essentially wearing the same expression on their face. They're happy to be there. They're enjoying the moment, and they're forgetting all the stuff that might be happening in their lives because you're allowing them to escape.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. And, you know, when you see that, or when they tell you that story, that's so gratifying. And the cool thing about what we do as artists, You have your people that work the 9 to 5, you know, that may punch a clock or that say, oh, I got to get up and go to work today. And I don't ever feel that way. And in most cases, I see people at the peak of their day and they are smiling and they are letting go of all of the other things that may be surrounding them in their life, you know, whether that's a financial worry, a relationship, or something family related. They just let all of that go and just let the music sort of take them over.
You know what? It is the equivalent, honest to goodness. Don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but it's been a subject for conversation on this show time and time again. In that regard, you are just as important as a doctor. Because if a doctor can actually heal you physically, are we saying that we can't get healed if we go to a concert? Absolutely.
Right.
It's like laughing. Laughter really is the best medicine. I know of a woman, as a matter of fact, she was showcased in The Secret, who talked about the fact that she lost the diagnosis of breast cancer. She essentially healed from within her breast cancer because she and her husband made it a point to laugh every single day.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's Phil Denny up on stage, and people are coming in, and somebody just lost their job, or somebody just got some bad news from the doctor. Who's to say that they don't go home that night, dwell upon the music, think about you, buy the CD, get crossover, share it with their friends, and all of a sudden, bang, zoom, their life changes.
right. Yeah, and that's the hope, you know.
Yep, and I know you've done it. How did you know? What was a pivotal point for you when you knew that it was okay for you to leave doing what you did as vice president of this mortgage company? When did you know that you had it in you to make it?
Yeah. You know, the writing was on the wall for some time, and I read the book. I don't know if you or the listeners have read it. It's called Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes!
And I read that book. And I really struggled with the decision for probably about a year, close to a year. And opportunities just sort of started to present themselves, you know, with the declining economy, it got to be that my band wasn't being booked as much, but I was still getting requests to do performances. And, you know, rather than hire a full band, they said, well, maybe we could just hire you. And I thought, well, in all fairness, that might not be, you know, the right decision for the band. So then I thought, why don't I start my own, you know, kind of side business to do independent performances? So I started doing a lot of track dates, and that's not really the ideal setup. But when I started doing the track dates and really kind of honing in on the idea of developing myself as an artist, it just kind of hit me at one point, and I shared, you know, my experience and my story with my business partner, and he was very supportive of me. And, you know, just within a matter of a few months, I sort of kind of closed out my books with respects to the loan activity I had at the time. And, you know, I feel that I made a lot of great connections and planted the right seeds. And then I just did it. I made the decision and I started, you know, doing music full time. And then that led to the idea to start to work on a recording project. And then Nate Harrison found me on Facebook. That seemed to be kind of a natural progression. And we met and we got along really well. And then the whole idea and the concept of the project Crossover was born. And we worked on Crossover for a year and then it came out. And a year later, here I am today with you.
That's pretty cool. Last night I thought about you because I found a quote on Facebook. Some of those quotes are real gems, and sometimes people pop out at you when you see them. And I knew that because you had the business background, you were going to be very smart about how your career was going to plot out as much as you can anticipate ahead of time, that is, because, you know, life can throw you curveballs, but whatever. Here's
sure.
the quote. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start believing in what could go right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And you seem to be the personification of that because, even though you strike me as being a practical person, and that's really good. Sometimes practical can be the antithesis of those who dream. I mm-hmm. also picked up from you that you were confident in the future ahead of you if you just learn to be smart and listen to the writing on the pavement,
mm-hmm.
on the wall.
Yeah. And I still have a magnet on my fridge that I look at every day. It says, "What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail?"
Oh,
so that's
yes.
something that, you know, I try to think about and live by every day, because, you know, you just never know. And life is so meaningful, and at times for some people so short. So we just live it to the fullest.
Oh, yeah, and we're learning that more than ever now. You just don't know much, you know, how much time that you do have. And
yeah.
Crossover, honestly, I listened to it. Well, I've had it for a while, but in the past 24 hours, knowing that you were going to be on the show again, I was trying to think of
mm-hmm.
what tracks I wanted to sort of mix into the interview. And
mm-hmm.
I know that you've got some good news. You always seem to have good news. but I wanted to play a particular track. I really did like the whole notion of the title, and it had such a really joyful feel. Be There For Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In these times, that is a great thought to put out there. Be There For Me.
Yeah. And that was a fun tune to record and write. And one of the earlier songs that we recorded in the album. And, you know, I wrote down titles for these songs and sort of played the matching game at some point along the way. And the title just seemed to be appropriate for the emotion that this song, I think, draws out.
That's pretty awesome, and I was thinking about it yesterday, because one of the victims of the Boston bombing, she is a young and beautiful dancer, and she lost part of her leg, and she has such an amazing spirit, and in combination with her husband, who is in the service, who is absolutely steadfast in making sure she gets everything she needs while she goes through this healing process. I was thinking about that song in regard to them and the different kinds of partnerships that people have that
mm-hmm.
are that just mean everything, even more these days than they have in the past, because these have been tough times.
Yes, they have. You're right.
So I think we should play it, Phil.
Thank you very much. Let's
you are welcome. Phil Denny is with me, and this crossover CD has generated a lot of buzz. Everybody who is listening now or who will be listening in the archives when this becomes available immediately after the show, you know what kind of positive vibes this CD has been offered through the universe. Honest to gosh, there have been different discussions of Phil Denny in different kinds of circles, and this is one of the reasons why, from Crossover, Be There For Me on Hyper Jazz. I just knew that this was going to be a good vibe day, and that just sealed the deal right there. Phil Denny from Crossover, be there for me. Oh, you know, you've probably been in a situation, Phil, where you have heard songs while you're doing interviews, and you hear them with new ears. What is that like for you? What was the first time, what was your reaction the first time you heard a song of yours played on a radio station or online radio, whatever? What did you feel like?
Yeah, you know, I was sort of like pre-warned about those situations because you do listen to it so differently, so constructively or with a new ear. And I honestly have yet to hear my song on an FM station. When I was out in California and Arizona, I had satellite radio in the car, and I was hoping to hear Traffic Jam on Sirius XM, but I didn't. But I have heard it on internet radio, and it is just such a great feeling. It sounds so different. At times it sounds like so commercial because you're so used to hearing all of the artists that you admire and have listened to for years on the radio, and then all of a sudden your song is in the mix, and it has just like that radio tone to it, and it just sets off a whole new vibe. It's fun. It's a great feeling, and you know, certainly a feeling that at one point in time I never knew that I would experience.
Right. Oh my gosh. And it must be. You'll find as you go along that there will be varying times that you'll hear the same song, and I wonder if it will be a situation where it will ever get old to you. Do you think that you'll ever get used to it? Do you feel so new in your career, even though you're not? You've been playing for quite a while, but do you feel as though it's going to be a situation where it will be just as exciting the 14th or 15th time as the first?
You know, like Sade said, it's never as good as the first time, whatever she was alluding to. But you know, I still get excited, and I think that it's just in me. You know, I really look forward to every performance. I look forward to writing more music. And as I mentioned earlier, I am, you know, new to the game, so to speak. I'm still very young in the genre. I hope to have, you know, a long career ahead of me. It's fun to think about people watching me grow and develop as an artist. You know, it's like watching Will Smith grow on television or any other actor or actress.
Right.
You sort of see them, you know, kind of grow and get better at their craft. And, you know, that's my hope. You know, I'm still and always will be a student of music. And, you know, my goal is just to produce and write great music that people can feel and enjoy.
And you know what? This brings to mind, because of what you just said, something about the nature of people. And I see this happening with you. And I really wasn't able to articulate it before you came on the show. But I know that people can sometimes get gossipy about other people, and we see it happen all the time on Facebook, and you know we try to stay away from that. But what I see happening these days, and I see it happening with you, people, whatever their gifts are, whether they be an artist or a musician or somebody who's starting a new company, I see people starting to buoy other people's spirits up rather than questioning them or tearing them down. I see people grasp someone's particular talent right where they are and say, oh my God, you're doing such a great job. I can't wait to see you, or I can't wait to see what your next project is going to be, whatever the circumstances. People are getting to be more positive with one another than they are destructive or negative with one another.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
You know, I think you're right, and the reason I say that is because, you know, while touring out in California especially, I had the opportunity to meet so many people, and I would agree that there's still a little bit of that negative or destruction going on, you know, behind the scenes, but this is the first time that I met guitarist J.J. Sansevierino, and he said, and great guitarist, by the way, and talk about a guy that leaves it all on stage. He really puts himself out there. So if you're out there listening at any point, JJ, props to you, man. But when we met after the show, he said, man, I got to tell you, it's just great that, you know, you responded to me, that you are active on social media and that you're just like a real person. And he's like, I tried to reach out to so many other artists and so many of them just don't reply, and they think like I'm better than you or whatever it is. And you know, at the end of the day, like, we're all human. We all are trying to accomplish the same goal in life, whether that's music or to be a doctor or whatever. Just be real. And I support so many other artists, and you know, I've been a fan of Nicholas Cole for a long time, even before he started charting on, you know, the Billboard charts. And just want to give props where they're due, because there's just no time for all that other nonsense, in my opinion. You know, just support one another. There's enough love out there for everybody. And, you know, I produce concerts back home here locally. And, you know, the whole idea behind that is just to continue to share great music, you know, not just my music, but the music of other people. So just like to give other people an opportunity and a shout out where it's appropriate.
And, you know, one of the interesting and, gosh, it really is interesting and satisfying ideas that artists can either incorporate into their careers or not. I just posted something about my friend George Duke yesterday. And George is one of those people who, despite the fact that he's got international stardom and a household name in a lot of households, he always takes the time to get back to you, and even if it's something very simple, you know that you have the contact. He doesn't necessarily get the props that other people get, I don't think, and other people may disagree with me on that. But one of the tenets, and this specifically goes hand in hand with what you just said, when you have the longevity of relationships that George Duke has had. I was telling my son today that, you know, Al Jarreau has a master's in psychology. Well, when Al was studying social work in San Francisco in the 60s, he and George Duke were part of a house band together in the clubs there. So between Al Jarreau and Jeffrey Osborne, who George has had an association with since the 80s, and a myriad of other people, to have the kind of relationships that blossom and grow through the years, to know that you have friends, not only Facebook friends, but real friends that you have connected with and stayed with through the years, that means everything. And your music becomes even more authentic through the years because you've done that.
Yeah. You know, and I agree. I you know, when I do talk with other aspiring musicians or just people in general, there's so much value in the relationship you have with the people that surround you. And I feel very fortunate to have a very dedicated fan base. And
yeah.
In 2011, I went on, I think it was 2011, on Dave Koz Cruise, and I had an opportunity to sit down and meet with Marcus Miller. And I was already sort of involved in my project, but I asked him, I said, what does a guy like me, new to the industry, do to make it, you know? And one of his words of wisdom was, you know, to build from within, you know, to start within your community and really solidify those relationships. And I had been doing that in Lansing for a long time. And once I was able to communicate my music through Crossover, and especially with the use of social media, has really helped. And the relationship with the fans and the communication that you have with them that, you know, that's ongoing or that may be sporadic, even if it's just here or there, I think is extremely important. Because at the end of the day, I'm a fan of other artists, and I just think that people want to know that you're approachable and that they can reach out and touch you. And you do that through building those relationships, and you're right. Then the music just becomes, you know, that much more valuable, and they want to support you at that point. There really is no hard sell about it.
You are completely correct, and it's the same philosophy that politicians have. I mean, we're not stupid. One of the big things politicians do is they go out and they make sure that they kiss babies, because honestly,
yeah.
If you can get to a voter's child, if you make Google eyes with a baby or befriend a child of someone who is a doting parent, you have that person for life. So the same kind of philosophy sort of adheres if you're an artist. If you allow yourself to be vulnerable to someone and draw them in, they'll never forget that moment. Because
yeah.
Sometimes... Phil, that's all that somebody has in their life. That's all
mm-hmm.
there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I see these people in grocery stores or in Target. Do you ever notice that some folks, they have their cell phones, and they want to make sure that you understand the conversation they're having, because this is their way of showing you how important they are?
Right.
That's all they have.
Yeah.
So
certainly heard that before.
If you make yourself accessible to somebody who is appreciating your music, you have them for life, and you're smart enough to understand that, because God knows you got
yeah.
a lot of fans at this point.
And I still and probably always will, you know, respond to the fans. And it was great that I had a 2.5-hour layover in Denver, because they have free internet, so I was able to respond to everybody online.
Oh, awesome.
From the shows. Yeah. So.
And you, when you were in L.A., didn't you hang out because you wanted to go see a friend do another show in town?
Yeah. You know, I got into town, I guess on Wednesday, so I had some downtime, which was great. And I did the KSBR radio interview with Blake Aaron, and that was
cool.
A lot of fun. But, you know, I didn't leave until after the Sunday brunch, and I went there just kind of spontaneous on a last-minute invitation and got to meet some great people. I even met Nils, who performs on the track Sweet Party on Crossover. We hadn't met until just this past Sunday, only online. And so that was really cool to meet him in person. But, you know, it was a long week, and I certainly was tired by Monday night. But Will Donato, J.J. Sansevierino, Ricky Lawson, and Nathan Williams, I believe. Nathan, yeah, we just met. Anyway, they had their 10-10-10 show, and I thought if I could go, you know, and make it happen, why not go and support those guys? So my horn was in the trunk, but I even told people that were asking, like, I'm really here just to hang out and support what these guys are doing, you know, because it's not every day I can just walk out my back door and attend a concert of that caliber. So you know, I got around and made it happen. And then, you know, got to meet Will Donato and JJ and just hear those guys and really just kind of take it all in. And then at some point later in the night, I was called to get the horn out of the trunk. So, but it really was just to go out and support them and just kind of be in the mix and enjoy Spaghettini and enjoy the music.
Well, look, if you think that's going to be the last time you are asked to get your horn out of the trunk, you got another thing coming, pal. You better just leave it right in the trunk, okay?
Right.
I got to ask you, one of the intriguing elements of crossover, I'm such a champion of women who are involved in these projects, and I really was smitten with Anna Stevenson. How did that happen? Because there was a real nice chemistry between you two.
Yeah, and that's another story told. We had another vocalist on board for that song before it was titled, because I knew that I wanted to have at least one vocal element on the record. And we went back and forth on the lyrical process, and it just didn't seem to fit the vibe of the album. And I remember specifically sharing the song with my wife, Amanda, and she said, "I don't know, Phil." She's like, because at times I've been known to not settle, but just be happy or content with, you know, what may be happening or whatever it is. And she said, "This is your first album, and I really want you to, you know, step back and listen to this with, you know, a different frame of mind maybe tomorrow or next week." And I did, and I shared that concern with Nate. So we went back to the drawing board, and Nate, as a producer, you know, doing his research, found Anna on YouTube. And he said, "I think I have an alternative solution." So we reached out to Anna and chatted with her about my project, kind of told her the vocal direction that we were looking to go in, and I gave her some, you know, lyric direction, but didn't really want to cloud her, you know, independent artistry. And literally she delivered those lyrics within like 48 hours, and we knew right then that Anna had a future with Nate, that we were onto something with this track. And the track was already developed. It just hadn't had any horn in it yet. With the exception of the basic foundation. So Anna came into the studio just like 2 weeks later, recorded. I laid down saxophone. She came back in to, you know, do a little bit more supplemental vocal work on it. And that's how that tune came about. And I know that Anna had been working with Nate, and she may be onto something independently from here on her own. So that's what happened.
Well, can I just give a shout out to Amanda for giving you such sage advice?
Shout out to Amanda. Yeah.
That's awesome, yeah. Because look, you know what? Talk about be there for me. When you have the true loyalty and support of a partner who maybe gets a little bit in your face and says, "I want you to shine." Now, you may not see it before I do. You might not see it as clearly as I do, but in order for your project to pop, you might as well have the best as opposed to settling. Boy, if somebody knows you that well, hang on for dear life, Phil.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings either, but at the end of the day, what I had to tell myself is, "Phil, this is a business decision, and this is a very big decision to make." So, you know, we handled it in a very sensitive and cautious way, but at the end of the day, you know, there were no hard feelings. Nobody's feelings got hurt. It was just a business decision.
Well, do you mind if I play this track? Because if folks aren't familiar with the track, it's just a real delicious kind of vibe, and it's
delicious.
You know,
I
what?
Like that.
Yes, it is. It's delicious, and it fits so well within the context. I'm so glad you added this particular vocal, because she seems to get you, and isn't that priceless?
Yes. It just seemed to work out in just a natural chemistry. And the interesting story also behind this is that we recorded independently of one another. So, you know, a lot of that chemistry just seemed to develop, you know, through our phone conversations and then just, you know, our natural artistry.
Man, that's a lot. Well, I'm going to play the track, and I love the title, When I Think of You, because it just lends itself to all sorts of suggestions and imagery when you hear this song.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Phil Denny is with me today, and this is Anna Stevenson doing the vocal, When I Think of You, from Crossover on Hybrid Jazz. You heard Matt in the chat room. You see him say, beautiful track. That is for sure. Woo! That's one of those tracks that could set the mood for a little romance, maybe a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, the inspiration behind the groove of that song is, and I'm not going to recall the name of the tune, but I was listening to Art Porter, and I just heard this real funky backbeat like that, and I knew that we wanted to do something with a little bit more of an R&B flair, and that's sort of how that track came about, just by listening to an old Art Porter tune. So, you know, and Nate, as a producer, he and I wrote and produced. He's obviously the producer on the album, but he and I wrote all of these songs specifically for Crossover, from a very basic scratch track all the way through completion. So it really was just a magical experience the first time around.
That is so nice. Isn't that invaluable to find a producer like that? Oh my gosh.
It is, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, because I've started on the second project, and even before then, I said, you know, you sort of spoiled me the first time around, so being that this is all I know, I'd like to do it, you know, the same way again. So he lives about an hour and 15 minutes from me, and, you know, I'm able to take a, you know, and block a few days off to schedule production time, and we sit down and we talk about, you know, the direction of the song or the album and what the message is, and then we just start with a basic groove, and, you know, we might scratch it, or we might go, okay, we're on to something, and then we both really get excited about the direction of even a four-bar drum loop, and then we start adding chords and color, and then I later, you know, start the melody writing process, but first the hook comes to me, and then I start, you know, filling in the blanks with the melody, because once I establish the hook, for me, songwriting sort of becomes easy because it just seems to flow with me. I guess that might be a niche that I have.
And not only a niche, but a gift, because it's not necessarily one of those handwritten rules that say just because you are a wonderful saxophonist doesn't necessarily mean that you are also a gifted songwriter. So to be able to do both. And once you have a way of doing it that makes you feel comfortable, oh, my gosh, now all that you do as you go through life is you find more inspiration to write more songs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't know where that's going to come from either, you know, just an experience or, you know, I listen to a lot of different styles of music, and I've told my wife, Amanda, I said, I'm going to be a whistler when I'm an old man because I whistle already.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to imagine you in a shock of white hair with a cane going around the house whistling. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
You know what? It's one of those wondrous things, which is why the show is called Hybrid, because there's so many different kinds of flavors under that banner of jazz. And later on in the show, I'm going to do a world premiere of a song by this beautiful producer and writer who's based in Singapore. And Aaron doesn't necessarily think of himself as anything other than a person who appreciates all different kinds of music. He likes to take all of the influences from Singapore and his Indian background and people that he knows from Canada and Germany and the United States and pulls them all together to make this instrumental music that is absolutely different. So in your travels, it's just going to happen to you because you're predisposed to writing songs that are in your head that have been influenced by other people or events.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. What was your one of the coolest moments that you've had so far in your career in sharing a stage with someone or having a moment where you go, wow, is this really happening?
Yeah. I want to say it was pre-crossover, actually, and here in Lansing, I've worked with several different promoters, but one of the promoters I worked with brought Kirk Whalum, and I was asked to be the MC for the night, and I've done just a little bit of that, and it worked out to my advantage because not only did I get to hang out with Kirk Whalum backstage, sort of get some industry advice, hear him warm up. He gave me sort of like a great warm-up lesson, but I didn't have my horn until midway through his show, his microphone died out. And
wow.
I happened to have my wireless microphone in the car, so I told his manager, I said, well, I have mine in the car. If he'd like to use it, I'd be more happy to grab it. He said, oh, yeah, do that. So I get it. I hurry up and get it plugged in. So we motion to Kirk to come on over and you know, get this microphone. And I said, you know, if you use my microphone, I've got to come out on stage with you. And I have my horn ready. Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, man, that's cool. That's cool. And Kirk Whalum's somebody that I've looked up to since, like, the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he had happened to be playing song Grover Worked and Underpaid, and it's a song that I've learned, I've covered with my band and so forth. So, you know, at one point during the song, he kind of called me out on stage, and then there I was, like, playing next to one of my heroes. And you know, the rush and the energy you get from an experience like that is just unbelievable and certainly memorable. And as I mentioned, it was kind of pre-crossover, but I just knew, like, at that point that this is really what I need to be doing. I really need to be on stage and, you know, just want to take things to the next level. Like, I just got done playing with Kirk Whalum. How cool is that?
Oh, my gosh. And it's a good thing he didn't do to you what he did to a friend of mine who is a saxophonist in this region, Chrissy Cromwell. She and he had known each other just a little bit. They were going to do a song that was pre-planned. While he was on stage, he changed it up, and he wanted her to do another song with him. So she had to learn on the fly.
Right.
Oh, man, she's going to tell that story until she's 85.
Yeah, and that's just one that comes to mind. I mean, there have been so many, and, you know, whether it's with, you know, someone that I've looked up to. I mean, I had the opportunity to share the stage during a jam session with Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
You know, I've met Kirk Whalum. I've performed with Layla Hathaway. I've met so many people, and all of it really just goes back to making the decision to pursue music. And all of this wouldn't have happened had I stepped out. And I've been very fortunate along the way to meet people. And, you know, it's not just here in my hometown, but I really have put myself out there. I've gone on these jazz cruises, and I've gone to Arizona and different places on my own dime to really just put myself in a position to network, be recognized, learn, and all of that. And because of those circumstances, because of, you know, that reasoning, I've been able to meet a lot of people and learn so much along the way.
And Phil, you have raised a very crucial point. It's not that everyone is able to do this, but like any business, you have to invest in the business before you see a return. And if you are able to do that on your own dime, means a lot. I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes that is the only way to get the buzz started, because otherwise you're just lost in the shuffle of different people trying to make it.
Yeah. Well, you bring up, I just want to share this really quick, because I had a saxophonist chat with me yesterday on Facebook. And, you know, we have this dialogue going, and then he says, rumor has it that money isn't that great in the smooth jazz genre, and that in some cases festivals aren't paying the artists to come in. And then he says, how much of this is true? And my reply was, it is a process getting to a level of what would be considered fair for the artist, but it's like any other business that it takes time to build.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want him to have any type of a false impression, because, you know, there are times where you have to pay to play, and you sort of have to swallow a little of that, because you're working your way into a very competitive genre. And for me, I happen to play the most competitive instrument. So, you know, that's something that I understand. I know sometimes that a performance may be part of your marketing budget, you know, but, you know, at some point, you know, you just hope that you've done all the right moves and made the right decisions, that, you know, people find value in what you do, and then, you know, you've really earned your way into the industry. And you're right, it's like any other business. So people just don't come day to day and support, you know, your local sandwich shop, or get on the phone with the attorney down the road in downtown, you know. So.
Yep. Well, you've earned your way, Phil. That's for sure. And what's next for you? What are you excited about? What can you tell us is looming for you in 2013?
Yeah, there's so much happening right now. It's going to be a very busy summer. I believe I mentioned earlier in the program that I'm working on the follow-up album to Crossover that at this point is untitled. I'm also working on a holiday CD, so that will come out pre-Thanksgiving. So it'll be my first holiday collection, so I'm excited about that.
Cool.
I've got a very busy summer here in Michigan. I'm headlining a few major festivals. I'm performing at the River Raisin Festival. A few others that I can't mention just yet, but I'm continuing to work on my jazz series here locally. Hoping to hear the phone ring at some point to get some callbacks to California. Continue to identify and work with key promoters, and hopefully continue to take the music on the road and continue to develop relationships along the way.
Oh, there is no doubt. And you know what? Honestly, you probably feel it, but last weekend seemed to be a turning point. So this interview was right on time, because if you make a lot of friends in a tough town like Seal Beach, which is in earshot and eye shot of everybody in the L.A. area, L.A.
Yeah.
and New York and Atlanta and Nashville, all those towns are really tough towns because there's 100,000 musicians.
and great musicians.
Yes. And if you can cause your own stir, people pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
So get ready for the next chapter of Phil Denny's life. Isn't
that
cool?
Thank you for believing in me. I appreciate that, yes.
Oh, yeah, Phil. Absolutely, I do. And your attitude is just so right on. Internally, you're so serene that good things can't help but happen to you, because you just have good intent, and your music really brings a lot of joy to a great many folks who are different kinds of people. You know, if you can do that across the board, different ages, different kinds of backgrounds, and everybody feels so good about your music, that means everything.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for spending as much time as you did. Yay, you were in the chat room too. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Now, look, I've got Traffic Jam, I've got Sweet Party, and I've got Crossover. So you pick the track to sort of ease on out. What would you like me to play?
You got Traffic Jam, Crossover, and what were the other ones you mentioned?
And the track you mentioned, Neil, Sweet Party.
Oh, Sweet Party. Let's do the title track. Let's do Crossover. It's got good energy to take us out of today's interview.
Yeah, I think that's right. And look, you said that you do a radio show yourself. You want to talk about that again? I like that.
Yeah, it's actually called Showbiz Weekly, and it's been every fourth week, but we're changing it to every third week. I'm the co-host with Taylor Kelsaw, and it's on the Michigan Business Network. And it's I think, the only program on that network that really focuses on arts and entertainment, not just in Michigan, but, all over. But the spot that I'm sort of the co-hosting, we talk about what's happening locally, some of the projects I'm working on, and it's been fun. I've just been working on it for a couple months now. And yeah, it's on the MichiganBusinessNetwork.com. It's called Showbiz Weekly.
That's awesome. A fellow disc jockey. I love it. Well, thank you again, Phil. And I love the title of this, the title of the album and this track, Crossover. There's a lot of different meaning to that. So I think you're fulfilling every single one of them. That's awesome. Thank you again. And I'll see you down the road one of these days. I'll see you in a venue where I actually have to go to another state to see you. Count on it.
That would be great. I look forward to it.
All right, Phil. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Phil Denny, just love it. And I love this track. I'm telling you what, it's pretty cool when your mind starts to go 1,000 different directions and thinking about the intent of a title. Crossover on Hybrid Jazz.
That
Jackie Ryan with John Clayton and Friends. And let us not waste any time to tell you what friends we're talking about here. Gerald Clayton, thank you very much, on piano and organ. Yes, the same Gerald Clayton that you heard last week. My gracious, playing with his dad, John Clayton on bass, Gilbert Castellanos on trumpet, Graham Dechter on guitar, Obed Calvert on drums, and Ricky Woodard on sax. The best of the best. Those are the only people that Jackie Ryan plays with, and she has every right to play with them. And they have every right, well, some of the time, to play with her, because she is the creme de la creme. Lord, she is mighty. And I had to play that song from Listen Here, her latest CD that is doing so well, No Brainer There. Spent several weeks on top of the jazz charts. How little we know, how little it matters. Not to be confused with the Mercer Carmichael song sung by Lauren Bacall in the 1944 movie To Have and Have Not. This song written by Carolyn Lee. So I love the idea that a woman has written the lyric, who also wrote the songs You Fascinate Me So, The Best Is Yet to Come. A big fan was Frank Sinatra, who sang many of her songs and made at least one of them a hit, Jackie says in her liner notes. young at heart. So Jackie always likes to make sure that she gives you reasons behind why she has chosen some songs, and that just makes it all the more divine in listening to her interpretation. Got to tell you about this. Jackie just played at Vitello's a few days ago, I think on Earth Day, sold out shows, a couple of them, with John and Gerald Clayton. Thank you very much. And she just did a stint last night. This is so cool. She played for an effort called A Night with the Stars. That was in San Francisco. What it is it's a charitable event, community housing endeavor. These individuals who put this show together find those in the community who have been homeless, who are now finding themselves on the way up and really want the expertise and the mentorship of folks who have established themselves in the music business. So what they do is that the people who are the stars of this show get together for a solid week or so with these formerly homeless people, and they train them in the way to go so that they can present themselves on stage and sing or play. How awesome is that? So the stars of the show are not necessarily the bigger names, but the people who have found themselves victimized who now get loved on when they're on stage. I love that. And Jackie Ryan was one of those mentors. Another reason for us to love her so much. Bless her heart. In case you are making plans for July 4th, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Jackie Ryan will be at Birdland in New York City. How cool is that to see fireworks and hear them in the way of that golden voice? And she will be in Baltimore at the Museum of Art. So tickled about that. This is one of those scenarios where she is outside on a splendid summer night, packed house, beautiful band, and her voice just soars over Baltimore City. Unbelievable. I am loving Jackie Ryan. We also heard Curtis Fuller and Bluesette on the Savoy label from 1959. Man, that was good to hear after Phil Denny. Don't you love those mixes when somebody so contemporary is backed up with somebody who paved the way? Just love to do that. Curtis Fuller was one of those great unheralded. You don't necessarily hear that name so much, but somebody who was able to make trombone so fluid. Curtis has one of those backgrounds. You just go, wow, how did he ever pull himself out? His parents died when he was little. He was put in an orphanage. And he learned how to play in high school. He got proficient very quickly. Sometimes when you have this hard background, you just pull yourself out because part of that creative anger and that longing and that sadness forces you to do it. He got work with Yusef Lateef in Detroit and Kenny Burrell. He moved to New York, was part of the Jazz Tet with Benny Golson, who an art farmer, Benny Golson playing tenor sax on that particular piece, Bluesette, and also got work with Art Blakey, another Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And on this album, it was also the title track, Benny Golson, as mentioned, Tommy Flanagan, who we also knew in his youth on piano, Jimmy Garrison on bass, and Al Harewood on drums. Curtis Fuller and Company and Bluesette. Got a lot of songs to play for you. Oh, it's just going to be good. It is good already. And thanks again to Phil Denny. He's already posted something on my Facebook page. He's such a professional. Isn't he a sweetie? He's so sweet. I knew he was because he was on Cool Jazz Conversations. Gosh, going back now over about a year or so, I guess, when his album first came out, and we had a good time then. And the good times are continuing to come in for him, that's for sure. As they are for Nate Najjar. Gosh, this album is doing well. Blues for Night People, which, as you know, is a tribute to Charlie Byrd. And Nate is picking up that torch. He was on the show a couple of months ago. We had a good time. And this is one of those Joe Beam songs that Charlie Byrd did so well. And Nate picking up that torch and running with it. Beautiful song. Someone to Light Up My Life on Hybrid Jazz.
Time out to see that I'm alive, I'm alive. Oh, I'm going out on my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and out of time. Still, I know all eyes are for me. Half a tingle's out to my beat. When your smile is much too discreet, it sends me on my way. Now, wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Would you really could offer a light? You start a little conversation, now it's all right. When you say goodbye. Baby, take five. You stop your busy day and make the time out to see, girl, that I'm alive. Oh, I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and lots of time. Still, I know all eyes are for me. Half a tingle's down to my beat. When you're smiling, much too discreet, it's setting me gone away. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? But then, mama, you know that you could offer me a light. Start a little conversation now, it's all right. Will you say bye? What do we say? Guess a pantomime and out of time. Still, I know what I thought for me. Apple tingles down to my feet. When your smile went to the street, it's gonna make on my way. Well, baby, just don't say I'm on it. Please do not stand. You could offer your hand. Hugging and a tugging, it could be all so fast. Take five. Come take five. Come take five. Jack. if you want it.
He's so crazy. That would be Alwin Lopez Juro. Huh? Al, that's his real name. Alwin Lopez. I just discovered that this morning. Whoa. He is such a piece of work. I'm telling you what. His interpretation of Take Five from back in 1977 from Look to the Rainbow, a most jazz-oriented project, and some folks just wish that he would go back to those times. But actually, he's getting closer to those times these days than he has in a long while. Man, he has had a couple of scares in the past several years, but he is so back that you're not even going to believe how back he is. This, what's April the 30th? Is that a Tuesday? That's a Tuesday. Next Tuesday. I should know this. My God, it's the show. Next Tuesday is going to be International Jazz Day. This massive undertaking of Herbie Hancock and others. And they will be gathering this star-studded event in Istanbul, Turkey. And by his side, of course, the ever-present George Duke, and by George's side, seemingly these days, the ever-present Al Jarreau. And I say that because George just finished work on this new Al Jarreau project. Woo! I am so tickled about that. It is going to be crazy. I'm going to tell you in a little bit all of the folks that I know who will be gathered in Istanbul that day. And suffice it to say, we're going to do something special next Tuesday because it will mainly focus on the artists who will be part of this glorious endeavor, an actual, not only a musical endeavor, but a peace-seeking project that will have repercussions for months and maybe years because Istanbul was especially chosen by Herbie. So keep your ear and your eye on that situation. Al Jarreau, man. On vibes, Lynn Blessing, keys, Tom Canning, bass, Abe Laboriel, and on drums, Joe Carrero. What an A-team that day. And Al loved it because he has said publicly how polite and respectful and enthusiastic European audiences are. So you heard that yourself. Of course, there's another side to the coin that we won't even touch right now. Mark Prince, Washington, D.C. based. You heard a second song in that mix, and I cannot say enough about this extraordinary drummer's album called Fraction of Infinity. You heard Rite of Passage. And Mark is one of these guys. Everybody and his mama wants to play with him when they come to the D.C. area. I don't know how many times he's played at Blues Alley, but let me tell you something. People cannot get enough of what he does. And this is what he does. He was at Howard University under the tutelage of the great Grady Tate. At the same time, around the same time, he was also a National Symphony Fellowship recipient, so he is well-versed in both classics and jazz. And I saw a lot of his background on the site for Soul Tone Symbols, which is what he uses. And I've written a lot of notes here. What have I said? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. At one time, he was playing with Andy Milne, who is a respected keyboardist. And because of the association with Andy, Mark, and we interviewed several years ago when I was on another radio station, and it was just so cool because he's so warm and so generous. Andy got into Mark's head a little bit with this M bass music philosophy, which incorporates funk and jazz and astrology and mysticism and other kinds of spiritual endeavors. And when I heard Fraction of Infinity, I went, what the heck? It is unlike any particular kind of CD that you will hear. It's just so soul-satisfying, I can't even say. Personnel on here. You heard EC3 talk about the wonders of Michael Bowie, the bass man that just knows his way in and out of playing that upright bass. Oh, my God, he's so incredible. David J. White, tenor sax. DeAndre Schaefer on trumpet. Alvin White on guitar. David Merlin Jones, soprano sax. Greg Boyer, trombone. Gino Young, who lent a vocal. Oh, my God, this vocal is so awesome. And Federico Gonzalez Pena on piano and keyboards. Just this percussive and this sax-filled and this trumpet and trombone mix with this drum kit that is just unlike any other. I just posted something on Mark Prince's Facebook page today just because of the fact that he trips me out every time I play one of these tracks from Fraction of Infinity. How he is going to be able to do something better than this, we don't know, but we'll have to wait and see. All right, Mark, your head is filled enough now. Nate Najjar, Nylon Nate, doing his thing on Someone to Light Up My Life from Blues for Night People, this tribute to Charlie Byrd. You heard Nate talk about this wonderful experience, and so glorious to see that he is traveling on the road with Tommy Cecil and Chuck Redd, part of the Nate Najjar trio that is on this new endeavor. They're going to be playing at Ram's Head in Annapolis on June the 14th, Flag Day, for those folks who are in the region or who can get to the region. This is the best kind of venue to see Nate and his guys do their thing because it's so intimate, and what they do acoustically just lends itself. When you hear Chuck Redd doing those vibes, oh, my God, it's just really cool, and it just makes you so proud that there are musicians that are in this Mid-Atlantic region or who have ties to the Mid-Atlantic that are prospering. It just seems like there's a whole new chapter in jazz that's happening, and we're all so thrilled. And speaking of regional people, let's get together with some ladies right now, shall we? A big part of what was happening at the Washington Women in Jazz Festival just a short time ago, part and parcel because of the vibe and the path that these two ladies have set, Jen Krupa and Lee Pilzer, the JLQ, Jen Krupa, Lee Pilzer Quintet, during the time that Amy K. Bormitt was on the show with us talking about that festival. We played this track, Walk and Choose, and we're going to play it again. Anytime you hear this show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, you will always hear a time or two. Anything that we can do to accentuate the positive as far as women in jazz are concerned. And here we go with this track on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the star. The dearest things I know are what you are. Some days my happy arms will hold you, and some days I'll know that moment divine. And all the things you are
You wouldn't have minded another 5 minutes of that, would you? I don't think so. Oh, Ella Fitzgerald sings the Jerome Kern songbook, All the Things You Are, which I discovered is Tony Bennett's all-time favorite song. Isn't that something? Wow. Such a beautiful song. Written for the musical Very Warm for May back in 1939. Man. So choice. Under the direction of Nelson Riddle, that orchestra backing up the Champagne of Voices from 1963. And why am I playing another Ella Fitzgerald song today? Because today is the memory of her birthday, April 25th. Played her on Tuesday. I think she deserves a few songs, don't you? Just such a pleasure to hear that glorious voice. Oh, my gosh. And going back now, in this past week, I was recalling different times where I saw Ella Fitzgerald on TV and in a variety show, certainly, capacity. And each time I remember anybody that was in the camera's view were all so immersed in her voice. She just commanded such respect. And for a young'un like me, a girl child, to figure that out, that women commanded this kind of respect, and if you carried yourself a certain way, if you had that kind of talent, and you, is this a word, comported yourself like a lady, that you would go far. Took me a little while to understand that. I understand that now. Ella Fitzgerald, the absolute pinnacle of all that it means to be a vocalist. Really. We heard Duke Ellington. Isn't that something? His birthday is the 29th. And, man, I'll bet you there's some parties going on that day. But we wanted to celebrate a little early. And Phil Denny was with us during the first hour of the show. And it seemed to be pertinent to pass along to Phil something as part of our discussion that Duke Ellington said so very long ago. And it's just so telling, even now, who knew he was a visionary? Oh, my, was he ever. He said, you've got to find a way of saying it without saying it. Duke was a great believer in that, and also the concept of being adamant about what he did. He called what he did American music. He didn't necessarily want to have the jazz categorization. And the people who impressed him most were the people who were able to cross those kinds of genres and barriers. He just loved the idea that people got it. If you played exceptional music, it filled ears of all of those who were, I don't know how you would say, not discriminating against a particular genre as opposed to another. So he chafed at the notion that you would try to box him in. And I just love that. It's I have a different viewpoint. I guess we all do. We all have our different ways of saying I like this particular music over a different kind of music. But this whole show lends itself to the expression of all of it. So I see where he was coming from. Birthday on the 29th, and actually what you heard is Rockin' in Rhythm from the Millennium Anthology, a three-disc set that came out on my mother's birthday on October 25th, back in 1994. So somebody gave this anthology to me, and then I found out about the background of it, and it was just really a kick. And by the way, Rockin' in Rhythm, I have to pass along this to you, because John Pizzarelli did a 2010 tribute album to Duke Ellington that was all about making sure that the breadth of music that Duke did got heard. I don't know who's on the line. Usually I see an area code. Now, I'm thinking it's a particular person because it's a 702 area code. Normally what I would do is, unless I was expecting somebody to call, I was just going to ignore it. But I can't because I figured out that I know who it is. 702 area code, hello? Hello?
Hello, Ms. Trish. How are you?
I knew it was you. EC3, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm better now that I hear your smiling little voice. You have something going on.
I felt the same. I was listening to your show, and I just felt obligated to call in and make a comment, if you don't mind, in reference to Ella Fitzgerald, and to kind of add on to what you were just saying about her, because I have been a great fan of hers as well for many, many years. And Ella not only was or is, I still say is, one of the greatest jazz vocalists of all times,
yes,
but she also had such a major influence on instrumentalists.
Yes.
Because with the way she was able to scat, I can't tell you how many horn players and pianists and vibraphonists and instrumentalists have listened to her lines that she's able to scat and have copied her, like, over the years. I mean, because she was an instrument in herself with her voice. You know, nobody was able to scat like Ella. Like, so, you know, she was a great instrumentalist as well as a vocalist.
You are absolutely right about that. And, you know, and thinking back, it's so interesting because when Billie Holiday got started in music, she focused her attention on how instrumentation affected her vocals. So she immersed herself in feeling the instruments and in conveying that interpretation via her voice. And it's so cool to hear the flip side of that coin, that many people got inspired by Ella, whose voice just influenced instrumentation. I love it.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So I didn't want to interrupt your show, but just wanted to, I was listening to it and just wanted to add my little 2 cent worth, that's all.
Well, it's never 2 cents when you put it in there. It's more like $2.
Well, thank you so much. Love your show, and I'm enjoying it immensely right now. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, EC. You call anytime.
Okay, cool. Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. That was very nice. On Ella Fitzgerald's birthday, what a nice tribute. Yeah, EC3. Oh, man, if you – let me tell you something. Let me walk over here because you know what? I have it in my midst. I wasn't going to do this, but it's going to be one of those shows today. It already has been. If you haven't picked up on EC3, let me just tell you something. Let me explain something to you. It's all about the rhythm. You need to go befriend him on Facebook, because usually everybody that listens to the show is on Facebook. And if you go to EC Coleman, that's where you'll find his Facebook page. And anything pertinent to what's going on in his world is right there. And I appreciate EC Coleman and saying that. It's especially gratifying to hear a man talk so highly about a woman who has been involved in the business. There cannot be enough of that because, you know, this whole division of the sexes crap has got to stop, as well as the woman versus woman stuff that we have seen. Other people would try to get you involved in the backbiting and the catfighting. Ain't going to happen. We're putting an end to that right now. And look, let me tell you something. The notebook just fell. I'm so excited about this. And EC will appreciate this because he appreciates creativity, as do all of the folks who listen to the show. Matthew Schell, God bless him. Matt Schell always keeps me in the loop as far as music is concerned. And there hasn't been maybe a couple of weeks that go by where I haven't had something thrown my way in the way of a SoundCloud bipe or something that he feels is worthy for my attention through email. Or he asks me what I think of one track versus another. Well, in the past few days, he has drawn to my attention someone that might have slipped through the cracks if I hadn't had Matt say something about him. I have found this person amazing, a Grammy-nominated composer and producer who is based in Singapore, who was just nominated this past year for his album Rumba Doodle in the Best Instrumental Pop category, along with Larry Carlton, Dave Koz, Gerald Albright, Norman Brown, and Chris Bode, who won in that category. Aaron Shenoy, A-R-U-N-S-H-E-N-O-Y, is this brilliant mind who was the first, let me get this right, the first citizen of Singapore to ever be nominated in a Grammy capacity. This is pretty heady stuff. Aaron and Matt got together by these means. Matt wrote to Aaron to say how much he appreciated his work. Aaron wrote back. They decided to collaborate. And this is the first time that you will ever hear this particular endeavor anywhere, because Matt gave me permission to do this. When I tell you that it's hybrid, it's a new level of hybrid, okay? Because Aaron is a great believer in making sure that his Indian heritage is acknowledged, as well as all the forces around him. So there were people brought in from Germany and Armenia and the United States and Canada, and this is the result of that musicianship. This is a track called Genesis on Hybrid Jazz. Your ears will thank you.
Thank you. just an ordinary day, watching people passing by. Suddenly you caught my eye. There was something in your smile, made me want to get to know where you've been and where you go. When the lights are turned down low, not give anything to me, by your side for just a moment, heaven. Show me the secrets of your heart, secrets of your love that takes your heart, makes you take the chance again, and throw caution to the wind. I'd give anything to be by your side for just a moment, heaven. You can show me the secrets of your heart. Of your
obviously, Secrets of Your Heart. Yes, not only did I play Slim Man for the wonderful sister friend that's listening today, but for all the Nachi Man fans out there. And there is a reason why, you see. Slim Man is going to be not only in our area at La Scala for the benefit of the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital coming up in the early part of May. Yay! Making the trek from Nashville back to his hometown of Baltimore, hun. But Slim is also going to be part of this star-studded affair happening even earlier in May at the Temecula Wine and Jazz Festival, ladies and gentlemen, in lovely California. So Slim is going to be on the show this coming Tuesday to talk all about it. Yes, we had to do that. So it's going to be an extra exciting show because we will have beautiful music from all of the stars that will be at the International Jazz Day in Istanbul on Tuesday. We'll play their music and we'll have Slim and we'll talk about International Jazz Day, play some of his music, and talk about what he's going to do. Woo! It's going to be very exciting. So, Slim Man Live, in the meantime, pick up that CD, if you will, slimman.com. Not only is it just chock full of entertaining anecdotes and gourmet recipes, yes, if you don't know that, but also what the stipulation is, if you come to La Scala, if you are local, La Scala is this wonderful Italian restaurant in the heart of Baltimore called Little Italy. Just beautiful. A smaller venue. All we ask of you, because I did an events page for Facebook, is that you bring something for the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. All of that information is on slimman.com, okay? And we'll talk more about that on Tuesday. Yay! Pharoah Sanders, the award-winning, beautiful man who is 72 years young. What you heard was Heart is a Melody from 1982 with William Henderson on piano, John Hurd on bass, Idris Muhammad on drums, live at Keystone Corner in San Francisco. Just a beautiful piece of work. And Ornette Coleman at one time called Pharoah Sanders the best tenor saxophone in the world, probably. And maybe Pharoah would tell you the same thing. Very confident of his abilities. If you've ever seen him live, it just blows you away because you can't imagine that a human being does that. He's just awesome. And he was at Bohemian Caverns in D.C. not that long ago, and I missed him, and it just, made me crazy. That's not going to happen again. Pharoah Sanders from 82 and something brand new from a birthday guy who's going to be celebrating on the 30th of April. I didn't know that until today. Aaron Shenoy with Matt Schell in conjunction of their bro-duction skills. Matthew Williams, thank you so much for coining that phrase. When guys get together to do production, it's bro-duction. So that's what we're going to call it. That's the first time you have heard that track called Genesis. And Matthew Schell has his own website, MTS. If you look that up, you will see the production process, the video of how it was done. This is how wonderful a human being Aaron Shenoy is, and I'm itching to get him on the show because he's a beautiful speaker. Oh, you hear his voice and you understand the wisdom behind all of this exquisite music. Aaron Shenoy has his own company. It's ASMP. And if you go to that website, you will understand something that is crucial for all of us to know. If you purchase any project on that website, 100% of the revenue of the albums sold directly from the website are channeled to an organization called MILAAP, M-I-L-A-A-P. Oh, I'm sorry, MILAAP, M-I-L-A-A-P, you'll see, .org. This is an endeavor that is a micro finance organization that educates and empowers the underprivileged in India. So that is a big chunk of money that Aaron Shenoy funnels back into the community that calls him their own. And he's living in Singapore now. He's a Singapore citizen, but he will never forget his roots. This is just so awesome because once you understand that, the music that comes forth from this man in conjunction with himself or anybody else that he works with takes on a new importance and an urgency. So I'm just so tickled. Now you understand why his album, Rumba Doodle, was in nomination for a Grammy, because these Grammy people, they take a lot into consideration. So for him to be in the company of all those people that I mentioned beforehand, just amazing. Genesis, the name of the track that you heard. And we'll talk more to Aaron. I hope that Matt and he can be on the show once again, just as Matthew Shell was with Trey Ely a couple of times. I loved it. Just so cool when you see all these creative endeavors take place. And looking at the time, I got to do this. We got to do Greg Adams. We have got to do Greg Adams. We played a song for sister friend Griselda in Texas. We played one for Matt Williams in Baltimore. Got to play one for our good friend Beej in Southern California. I love the idea that Greg Adams does a Sting song from Cool to the Touch back in 2006. If I Should Ever Lose My Faith in You. Are you ready for that? And then I'll tell you news about what's happening with Greg Adams. Right here on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Thank you.
when I fall in love, it will be forever. Or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely, or I'll never leave my heart. And the moment I can feel I fall in love with you.
When I fall
when I know you better like I do. When I know you better like I do. When I know you better like I do.
Brought on flugelhorn, When I Fall in Love, from A Time for Love. George Duke, a melody from Deja Vu from a few years ago. And Greg Adams, who will be at the Potomac Jazz and Seafood Festival in July. We'll have more about that. We're running out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Woo! Such a beautiful time. Thank you to Phil Denny, and God bless all of our friends, both Anonymous and Beach, and Griselda and Matt. We'll see you on Tuesday with Lament on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Have a blessed and safe weekend. Love ya. Mwah!